Just before we read the Word of God and come to it, let us unite our hearts in prayer, afresh looking to the Lord, that the Lord will be gracious to us and give to us the living bread and the milk and the meat of His Word. Our loving eternal Father, we do thank Thee tonight for life's truest friend, for the one who truly is the friend of sinners. We know that Thou didst not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we do thank Thee that through the preaching of the Word, faith came, and life came, and the gift of repentance was given to us. And we pray that this night, O God, there will be those in this service who will stand in the way and see wherein is the good way, wherein they shall find rest for their souls. So, Lord, we praise Thee that there is peace through the blood of the cross. There is the knowledge of salvation by faith in Christ alone. Hear our prayer and work in all of our hearts through Thy word, that our profiting might be much. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. We will open our Bibles tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and the book of Isaiah. So, if you work back from Isaiah, the Song of Solomon, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we'll read at verse 1. And Solomon, of course, is the penman. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. We'll end our reading here at the verse 17. And may the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. The life and history of Solomon is full of instruction, of timely lessons for succeeding generations. Solomon began with such promise and potential. The Lord was pleased that when Solomon came to the throne, he sought wisdom rather than riches, long life, or victory over his enemies. In those early days of his reign, Solomon loved the Lord. He walked in the steps of David, his father. He was privileged in being permitted to build the temple in Jerusalem. He was the penman of over 1,000 songs and of 3,000 proverbs, timely, wise sayings. The downgrade came in Solomon's life when he began to depend on the arm of the flesh. He sought alliances with the surrounding nations, mostly through marrying the daughters of heathen kings. These unequal yokes were disastrous. Solomon did not turn these heathen women from their idols. The opposite happened. They turned away his heart, his life, from the Lord. Solomon pursued wealth and fame. He indulged in all that the world has to offer. He found out the hopelessness, the emptiness, the pain, the purposelessness of living without the Savior. Solomon in this chapter reflects on it all. And he declares more than once, it is all vanity and vexation of spirit. It is all full of emptiness. Elvis Presley, he enjoyed great fame. He lived in a mansion. He had boundless wealth, but he died alone from a drug overdose. When at the pinnacle of his fame in the 1950s, he once spoke to his pastor, saying, "I'm the most miserable young man you have ever seen. I've got all the money that I will ever need. I have millions of fans. But I'm doing, Pastor, what you taught me not to do. And I'm not doing the things you taught me to do. Oh, the emptiness of life lived without the Lord. Solomon, his life is a beacon, warning succeeding generations of the folly and misery of godlessness. Take to heart the lessons Solomon learned. They are left on the sacred page that you might take heed and come to the Lord who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now notice first of all in this passage the cause of his folly. It is very clear that Solomon has lost sight of the Lord. The Lord is no longer before his eyes. To coin a modern phrase, Solomon is doing his own thing. He has many imitators, many followers in 2020. This is how multitudes live. Their lives make no acknowledgement of the Lord. The Lord is left out of all the plans, all the arrangements, all the aspirations. They are taken up with, engrossed with self, with selfish plans and ambitions. Notice the predominance of self in many of these verses in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. For example, verse 1, I said in mine heart, I will prove thee with mirth. Verse 2, I said of laughter. Verse 3, I sought in mine heart. Verse 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and orchards. I planted trees. I made pools of water. And verse 8, I gathered me also silver and gold. I got me men singers and women singers. Until finally Solomon arrives at the place where he says in verse 9, so I was great. The proud heart of man wallows in its supposed greatness. It seems that everything is prospering, that all the dreams of life are becoming a reality, that the cup of life is full and running over. Proverb 14 and the verse 12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. One of the causes of Solomon's folly was his failure to take on board the lessons that the lives of others taught him. Soon after his enthronement, a distinguished visitor came, the Queen of Sheba. She was no ordinary monarch. She had many carriages, numerous camels, choice spices, precious stones, and much gold. In other words, the Queen of Sheba had power and prestige. And despite all of that, she was not at ease. She was not content. She yearned to see something greater, more wonderful and glamorous. And that's why she traveled thousands of miles to get to Jerusalem. She was an empty soul, but the lesson was lost on Solomon. He failed to learn from her that the things of this earth can never fill the heart of man. You see others around you. It seems on the surface that they have everything that one could wish for. They have employment. They have money and friends. But they are not content. They must have some new fad. They must have some additional pleasure. Their lives are full of emptiness, always looking for something more. There's a lesson there for you. Oh, that you would seek life where it alone can be found. Another cause of Solomon's folly was his failure to heed God's word. Long before Israel ever had a king, God gave clear instructions as to how a king should live and conduct his life. In Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verses 16 and 17, speaking of a king, he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. The king was not to multiply homes, wives, or silver and gold. But as for Solomon, he disregarded the word of the living God. And he did so to his detriment and downfall. What is happening in our society, wherever we live tonight? The word of God is being ignored. People will have none of the Lord's counsels. They are determined to break asunder his commandments, cast away its cords from them. They will not be guided. They will not be bound by the living word of the living God. Psalm 119 and verse 165 makes it clear, great peace have they which love thy law. It's the greatest folly to ignore the scriptures. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, we see here the cause of Solomon's folly. But then we think, secondly, of the course that Solomon followed. As we examine his life, it appears to be a tremendous success. It appears to be a success in terms of his works. What vast building projects he engaged in. Verse 4, he says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. Second Chronicles chapter 8 gives more details. Second Chronicles chapter 8 and the verse 1, it speaks of Solomon. He had built the house of the Lord and his own house. The palace, his palace was massive. It took 14 years to build. The temple, the house of God, it took 7 years to construct. He built several frontier towns. 2 Chronicles 8, verses 4 to 6. He built Tadmor in the wilderness, and all the store cities which he built in Hamath. Also he built Beth Horon, the upper, and Beth Horon, the nether, fenced cities with walls, gates, and bars. And Baalath, and all the store cities that Solomon had, and all the chariot cities, and the cities of the horsemen, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon throughout all the land of his dominion. Oh, think of his works. And that there's every evidence to suggest success here. He also planted wonderful gardens in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 5. Gardens and orchards which were irrigated with water, verse 6. He was a success in terms of his works. He was a success in time, in terms of his wealth, verse 8. He says, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. Every year, Solomon brought in 25 tons of gold. He made silver in Jerusalem. It was so common, it was as common as the stones in the street, such was its abundance. He also had his own orchestra. Verse 8 speaks of those musical instruments of all sorts. Whatever way we look at it, he was living life to the full. And he can say in verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. On the surface, he seems to have everything. In reality, he came to see it all as nothing. For in verse 11, he says, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. All, everything was full of emptiness. Maybe you think, if you could get X, Y, and a Z, you would have made it. You would have all that the heart could wish. No, you wouldn't. The famous, the rich, the celebrities are among the most miserable on this earth. Henry Ford, the founder of the famous car company, he said, work is the only pleasure. It is only work that keeps me alive and makes life worth living. I was happier when doing a mechanic's job. Johnny Cash, the country and western singer at the heart of his fame, he needed 15 tablets a day to lift his spirits, and 15 more to settle them down. That's how the celebrities exist. It's all froth with no substance, emptiness. This was the course that Solomon followed. Is it the course that you follow? Notice, thirdly, the confession that he makes in verse 11. He declares all was vanity and vexation of spirit. He scrutinized all his works. He weighed up all his wealth. And here is the conclusion from his own lips. He is saying, I have been chasing shadows. I have been feeding on ashes. There's no substance in ashes. It has all been for nothing. The English peer, Lord Byron, the poet, he had a similar lifestyle to Solomon. And he wrote a few lines to sum it all up. And those lines run like this. The thorns I have reaped from the tree I have planted, they have torn me and I bleed. I should have known what fruit would spring from such a seed. My days are in the yellow leaf. It's just another way of confessing all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Are you saying that you are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? Oh, how mistaken you are. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Things, the treasures of the world, the pleasures of the world, they can never fill the void in the heart of mankind. That's powerfully demonstrated in Solomon's confession. He had all of this wealth. He had all of these mighty works and possessions. But it was all full of emptiness. There was a void within that they could not fill. And notice the conclusion that Solomon comes to, disillusioned. He comes to this grand conclusion in verse 26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom. He tells us that God is the giver of wisdom, and it is the greatest wisdom to turn from our sin and to seek the Lord with all our hearts. The rich farmer who had only mercenary thoughts and plans, who was careless about his soul, the Bible describes him as a fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, it's the height of folly to live without heavenly wisdom. In Moses' prayer in Psalm 90 and verse 12, there are these words, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, or unto the wisdom. The greatest wisdom, the greatest display of wisdom is in the gospel. Oh, that you would apply your heart to your need of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, that you would turn from your folly and forsake your sin and to flee to the Savior. Solomon tells us, God giveth wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge. Someone has said there is but one thing in the world really worth pursuing, the knowledge of God. John chapter 17 and verse 3 explains to us, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Oh, that you would come to the knowledge of life eternal, the knowledge of the only true God through the Son, Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know. What did he know? What knowledge did he have? He says, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you this knowledge of Christ? Do you know him? This is a greater knowledge than all the philosophies, than all the sciences of this world. Oh, that you would come to know the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. And Solomon then tells us that God giveth to a man wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29, the Bible says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We often sing the chorus, life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Your joy will only be complete when your sin is pardoned, forgiven, when you're at one with God. Augustine said, within us all is a void that can only be filled with God. Oh, all will be full of emptiness until you are complete, filled full in Jesus Christ. Oh, Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the joy, the peace I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. The Lord is the fountain of life. Leave the broken cisterns, the empty cisterns, the bitter waters of this world. Come tonight to the cross. Come in repentance, forsake your sin, and make the Lord Jesus your choice, your salvation, your Redeemer. He is the only one on earth that has power to forgive our sin. Oh, may you know what it is to have sins forgiven and to have the peace of God which passeth all understanding, filling your heart and soul. Come to the giver of life, life more abundant, life eternal. Let us bow together in prayer. And if there is someone in this service with a spiritual need, the Lord Jesus Christ can meet you at the point of your need. And if we can be of help to you, we're here, your servant, for the Savior's sake. Our loving eternal Father, we thank Thee for the one who opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Lord, we have learned, as Solomon has taught us, that all is vanity and vexation of spirit, full of emptiness, froth, without substance, when Jesus Christ is left out of the life. And we pray, Lord, for those who are without Thee in this meeting, that Thou wilt arrest them, that they will be apprehended of Christ Jesus, and they will be brought to drink of the fountain, life-giving and free. Lord, Thou hast said, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. O Lord, may there be those that will drink of the living water and go tonight on their way rejoicing in Thy so great salvation. O Lord, help us who are Thine to be at the fountainhead every day of our lives, to be drawing from Thee. We can with joy draw water from the well of salvation. O Lord, help us to live close to Thee, to walk with God as Enoch did in the evil day. So bless Thy word and keep our hearts and seal them for Thyself. Part us in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing, we ask it in the Savior's lovely name. Amen.